Hello, everyone. I am Brian Zimmerman, Senior Director, Client Content and Strategy with Becker's Hospital Review. Thank you for tuning into the Becker's Healthcare Podcast Series. Today, I am pleased to be joined by Dr. Amit Pul, board-certified emergency medicine physician and VP in strategy and insights at Doximity. Dr. Pul, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you for having me.
All right, so let's dive right in here. Dr. Pul, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and sort of your role in telehealth?
Yeah, definitely. I guess some of what you mentioned, even in terms of the roles that I have at Doximity and as a practitioner of emergency medicine, it kind of speaks to my role in telehealth. First and foremost, I'm a user of telehealth. I still practice clinically, particularly throughout the COVID pandemic, saw a significant increase in my utilization of telehealth technologies, and that seems to be carrying on even as numbers on the COVID side are reducing somewhat. I also have the great pleasure of working on the Doximity team in a strategy capacity, and I've been involved since the outset of our foray into telehealth when we started building a couple of years ago now this Doximity dialer platform that has really taken off throughout the COVID pandemic.
Yeah, absolutely. And you have like sort of the unique perspective of being able to see telehealth technology from both a development and sort of user perspectives. And I'm curious if you could walk our listeners through what needs to happen or needed to happen to make the massive gains in telehealth utilization that sort of occurred throughout the pandemic, and how do you make those massive gains sustainable?
That's a great question. So I think the COVID pandemic was unique in a lot of ways, obviously, in terms of how it's impacted society. From the healthcare perspective, I often describe it as a catalyst. There were a lot of changes that were already afoot in terms of how we deliver and receive healthcare in the United States. And COVID-19 came along and really pressure tested our system and really turned a lot of things on their head in terms of how we are able to safely and efficiently develop and deliver healthcare therapies. Specifically, as it pertains to telehealth utilization, I think there was an alignment of a handful of variables. One, consumer or patient acceptance, just given the context of the pandemic with folks staying home, there was a dramatic increase in patient openness and willingness to actually visit with their physicians virtually. I think you saw a commensurate increase in willingness to accept and adopt new technology on the physician or provider side as well. And the third piece that really, I think, cinched it was the government or legislative or reimbursement angle, where telehealth was accepted as a on-par service relative to in-person visit. And that was largely driven by the practical reality that in-person visits were no longer feasible, just given the context of the pandemic. And I think if we were to continue to keep those three variables in alignment with one another, it will speak to a massive increase that is persistent in terms of how we utilize telehealth beyond the pandemic. I think the customer patient willingness is there. Most providers, myself included, have had a surprisingly positive experience with telehealth over the course of this past year and some change. And if legislative end and reimbursement end can kind of stay where it is, I think it will drive persistent utilization of telehealth into the future.
Definitely. And can you talk more about how all of this has perhaps influenced patient expectations of telehealth going forward? How will all these happenings sort of continue to influence these expectations long term?
Yeah, I mean, a lot has happened in such a short period of time. I think there was, again, just viewing COVID as a catalyst of changes that were already slowly taking place. There was a small subset of conditions that a small kind of technology forward portion of the patient population was already pursuing via telemedicine or asynchronous medicine platforms. I think with the outset of COVID, patients and providers alike were exposed to our ability, frankly, to leverage technology to take care of a much broader array of conditions. I think patient expectations changed in kind, where now the convenience of being able to actually get medical advice or medical input from your provider without having to get up, leave your place of residence, go schedule an appointment, et cetera. That convenience element as a patient expectation, I think, will be a very significant driver in terms of telehealth moving forward. There's also the concept of accessibility. I mean, at the outset, there were issues with access. I mean, that's a persistent issue in the U.S. healthcare system that telehealth can kind of fall into on occasion, but can also on occasion be a solution for. So as we dive deeper into this and telehealth becomes more pervasive, we're coming up with solutions as to be able to provide access to medical care to the hardest to reach populations, populations that live in far off rural areas that are somewhat remote from access to providers, populations that may or may not have reliable access to high-speed internet technologies, for example. So there's a lot of momentum behind meeting this need for convenience and this broader array of conditions that we can now care for via telehealth. And on the provider side, we are actually pushing to further broaden, frankly, our reach. At the outset, we were using what everyone, I think, accepted as temporary solutions, basically taking the technologies that already existed and fashioning them in such a way that we could provide telemedicine services. I think Apple's FaceTime would be a good example. As we settled into the pandemic, a lot of technology was actually developed in order to specifically solve these problems. So we could not only have accessibility and convenience, but also the security that would be necessary to have a true full-on medical encounter remotely.
Absolutely. Some fascinating comments there about telehealth being at once sort of this bridge to more access, but also sort of still, you know, vulnerable to the things that have hindered access in the past, as traditional, you know, not enough broadband out there. So that's something that's going to be really fascinating to watch develop in the coming years to see if you can really, you know, bridge that gap and get broadband out there and get more telehealth out there, right?
Absolutely.
Do you have any insights about perhaps the distinctions that providers that were able to meet the telehealth demand surge, you know, with relative ease? And which ones struggled? What was the difference between those two groups of providers?
When I think about this, I honestly, if I were to boil it down to a singular characteristic, I think it's agility. The ability to accommodate a rapidly changing practice environment, I think, was key, particularly throughout the stressors that were placed onto the system via the COVID pandemic. I think down to the level of an independent healthcare provider, one's ability to pick up a piece of technology and incorporate it into their practice was tantamount to success or failure, often, particularly early on. If you take one step back from the individual provider and look at either groups or health systems, or frankly, even the folks who developed telehealth technologies, the ability to meet patients where they were and meet providers where they are in terms of their agreeability, I guess, for lack of a better phrase, to pick up that new technology and incorporate it into their practice patterns, it required a lot of flexibility on everyone's part. I think healthcare traditionally, or the healthcare industry, has always struggled on this front in terms of how to adapt new technology and processes to changing requirements and demands. And I think the folks who responded to demand surges in this instance effectively were those who are most nimble or most agile.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds like it definitely tracks. So then my next question would be, focusing on the provider side of all of this, what can providers do to make telehealth more convenient for their physicians and other clinicians that treat patients?
That's a great question. I think the best way to approach this problem, and frankly, even part of my job personally at Doximity, is to continually beat the drum that, hey, providers and physicians in this case, they're people too. They gravitate towards the same types of features and conveniences that people generally do. And frankly, if you provide them a solution that is easier to use, friction associated within it, they will gravitate towards that solution. So providers, I think, in this scenario can make telehealth significantly more convenient for physicians and clinicians by doing exactly that, like focusing on the human elements that go into providing medical care virtually and removing as much friction as possible, ensuring that your solution works, it's reliable, there are as few clicks as possible in order to actually connect the patient or provider with the professional who's taking care of them at that time. And I mean, the feedback we got at Doximity early on was focused around, I want my virtual care visit to not be a technical support call, I guess would be the best way to sum it up. Making it more convenient is focusing on the convenience. You know, there's a lot of, I guess, technical debt would be a fair term, just kind of baked into healthcare software, technically, or large systems that providers use to provide care. And being so worried about integration so as to prevent your technology from even being taken up in the first place, I think, is part of the duality that exists here that providers need to focus on. the more that we can meet our human physicians and caretakers where they are, provide them convenient tools to easily access their patients that are in need, the better it is for everyone involved.
Yeah, no, I mean, just there's some universal things, right, that we all want when we're engaging with technology. I think some of the phrases you just used there would apply to the patients as well, right? Like meet them where they are and make it easy to access. I think those are some important points. I want to ask you, are there some lessons you and or Doximity sort of have learned over the course of this pandemic that could help providers make their telehealth program more scalable and ready for what's to come in the future?
Absolutely. I think if I were to summarize my key takeaways from being involved on the Doximity end of things, focusing on those convenience points, making your software as easy to use as humanly possible. And baked into that is the concept of being platform agnostic, being device agnostic, really removing a lot of the contingencies or obstacles that stand in both patient and provider's ways. That, in my view, is the key to scalability. Doximity made a fairly significant pivot at the early days of the pandemic. And once we leaned into feedback, frankly, we were receiving from our membership that they needed a solution that they could use in a pinch that was reliable when other systems were failing. The more that we focused on convenience and the more we focused on removing obstacles, frankly, the uptick in the volume of use was dramatic. We very purposefully pursued what we call a kind of an appless install or an appless usability. So patients using our platform never have to actually download an application. The ability to connect with a physician without having to install something on your phone, register for a new account, et cetera, I mean, I think everyone can relate to this kind of typical obstacles one has when utilizing a new technology. Being able to remove those obstacles, I think, was the key to scalability. And frankly, that applies to both patients and providers alike. The less that you put between your intended user and your technology, the better. The easier it is for them to use it, the more likely that they will. And I think those were key lessons that we all sort of knew, but had very strongly confirmed by our experience throughout the COVID.
Well, thank you for sharing that, Dr. Pohl. And just to close here, do you have any other thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners on the future of virtual care delivery?
Yeah, I mean, I would say that the long and the short of it, for what it's worth, is that it's here to stay. You know, I myself am old enough now, I guess, where I am exposed to the quote unquote old guard of medicine that was quite fearful of the commoditization of medical care. I think this whole experience as a society has actually flipped that viewpoint on its head a little bit. Meeting patients where they are and providing convenient care with less overhead for a handful of conditions, I think is something that patients and providers alike have embraced. So I think virtual care delivery, for a whole variety of reasons, is here to stay and is likely going to grow a good bit in the coming future. Patients love the convenience of it. Providers now have technology solutions, I mean, Doximity's included, that they have at their disposal to provide care efficiently and effectively and safely, which is very important. And now, as we kind of discussed earlier, the prerogative from payers, government institutions, and large health systems is there as well, as they are able to kind of recognize the benefits of expanding the reach of their services while reducing the cost entailed in providing those services. So I think the alignment of all those factors really speaks to a pretty bullish future for virtual care delivery.
Great. It's been wonderful to talk to you today. I really appreciate you taking the time, Dr. Pohl.
Thank you very much for having me.
I also want to thank Doximity for sponsoring this podcast and our telehealth virtual event. You can tune into more podcasts from Becker's Healthcare by visiting our podcast page at beckershospitalreview.com. For more telehealth content, visit the telehealth virtual event page on the Becker's Healthcare website.